Blog Talk Radio.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from Geico.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the Geico app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the Geico app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.
Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week, and I say that literally. And, getting into the towards the end of the year here, and so much has been happening. So much has happened this year, and for those of you that are used to listening in, today we're going to, instead of splitting the show up, we're just going to do the whole hour on apartment buildings and commercial real estate. It's just one of the fastest growing segments for commercial real estate, which is something I just learned. I always assumed possibly it would be shopping centers, or, well, actually shopping centers have changed a lot, but I just assumed, didn't realize it would be apartment buildings. And we have with us Scott Furman, who has been in real estate quite a long time. I'll let him fill you in. And he had a brilliant idea with the way technology is moving forward, and jumped on it, and is doing very, very well. He's actually the founder of apartmentbuildings.com, an investor as well. And so without further ado, I'd like to introduce Scott Furman. How you doing?
Fantastic. Thank you, and thank you for having me on your show today.
Yes, thank you for being on, too. I appreciate it. And you're in California right now.
I'm in sunny, beautiful Los Angeles, California. And and it's a hot market out here.
Wow. Nothing. Low interest rates have made such a big change, huh? Nothing's slowing down, huh?
Not at all. There's a lot of deals that's been happening in 2017, and they trade at like 3.5 cap, 3 cap. It's amazing. People want somewhere safe to put their money, and the multifamily industry is definitely where it's at.
Well, tell us about you a little bit first before we go into all that, because I want to hear how you got started, and it's exciting. And what brought you to this point?
Okay. Got into commercial real estate following my dad's footsteps. He owns a commercial real estate company in Maryland called American National Properties. His specialty is land to developers and builders, and he's the number one the last probably 40 years in land sales in Montgomery County, Maryland, at least. So I came out to California in 2000. And I started at Marcus & Millichap. I was a broker there, specializing in multifamily for 2 years. And I went on to Remax Commercial for most of my career. And I specialized in selling apartment buildings in the San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles County. And then I really started buying and selling my own deals full-time in 2012. And I bought this domain name, apartmentbuildings.com, that I always wanted for about 11 years. And the gentleman that owned it in Germany finally decided to sell it to me. So I bought it, and that was the year that CoStar bought LoopNet, and that was kind of huge news in our industry. So I think they
CoStar,
bought somewhere around $950 million.
Paid quite a lot for that.
Yeah, $950 million. I think it says $860 million, but there was actually a little bit more from what I hear when the deal was finally finished.
Now, for a lot of the listeners, the CoStar and the LoopNet, so LoopNet basically has always been a site for commercial real estate, right? If it's I've been
LoopNet
familiar with LoopNet.
Is really known for advertising as all commercial real estate. And CoStars was mainly the company for data that brokers and large companies would buy to get comps, in other words, on properties that have sold and market data. And I think LoopNet started to sell data too, and it scared CoStar, and they were in a lot of they were also suing each other back and forth in lawsuits, and I think CoStar bought out LoopNet. Yeah. So
it's like they never knew competition.
And it angered a lot of people in the industry. Yeah, it did. It did. So
now
they've been one
really
big company for 6 years.
Wow.
So they kind of have a monopoly. There's other small companies out there, but they kind of have a monopoly, and that's what made me want to, instead of using that domain name to start my own brokerage company, I decided to create an advertising platform for multifamily.
Smart.
And what a better name than apartmentbuildings.com.
Smart. Well, you actually went straight from – go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you're right. I just went straight from really brokering to buying and selling my own deals to learning the tech world, and I didn't know anything about it when I first started. And I thought I could do it all on my own. So, through a lot of growing pains, I grew it slower. I didn't get funding, but I self-funded the company. And it was in beta mode for a couple of years, and then it went really big, as big as I could possibly go in 2012 with a few employees. And then I really took on my first business partner this summer, and we've had the most traffic, and we've grown a lot. I mean, we have a lot of brokers from CBRE, Mark Similichap, Cushman Wakefield, Sperry Van Ness, Coldwell Banker, Remax Commercial, you name it. They're posting their listings for sale on the site, and we're now in 5 states, California, Arizona, Texas, Florida, and New York. And there's a lot of deals that are posted on here from brokers that are not even on any other platform at all. So if you're looking to buy an apartment building,
yeah.
If you're looking to buy an apartment building, you can register free and check out what we have. It's a great – and it's free to register, and it's free to post, and it's a great, website for you to search and list.
So you just – apartmentbuildings.com, and they can go up there and they can post. Yeah. But it's interesting because a lot of our listeners, we have a lot of small mom-and-pop brokers and agents, and then sellers and buyers in the general public. The commercial real estate, just for those that are listening, are used to residential real estate. We've had the MLS systems, the multiple listing systems, for years and years and years. And many times you find that the commercial brokers will not put their listings into the multiple listing system. And I guess that's where a company like LoopNet, to advertise strictly commercial listings, has really grown very large, because it's a segment that you don't usually find in the MLS. Am I correct? And then with what you're doing with apartment buildings, you're even narrowing it down more, right? To give
just the multifamily industry.
Wow, that's
why do they don't put it on the MLS? Because I think they just don't want a lot of calls from unsophisticated brokers asking questions, which are obvious, and they, everybody in sales, your time is your money. And I think commercial real estate agents just kind of get annoyed at residential agents that really don't know what they're doing. And I think it annoys them. That's why.
You think, I've always felt like when we list commercial properties in our hotel or other, commercial land, et cetera, I've always said, hey, I want to do, I would want to put a loop in it or an apartment building. It's perfect. This is perfect. And but also in the MLS, because I wouldn't want to just hold it in-house. Over the years, I've seen many times where if you're looking for, you know, a commercial buyer, you have to call all the different commercial offices and brokerages to find it, right, because they're holding their listings in-house. So I kind of got the feeling that maybe it's a twofold situation. Also, where what you're saying, they don't want people that aren't sophisticated and have no clue what they're doing, you know, ringing the phone off the hook, but also they like to try to sell it themselves and manage it. And is that – did you find that over
the
years?
I think it's both. I think
okay.
If something's priced really high, they will put it, and it's a smaller building, they'll put it on MLS if they have if they're a member. It's not an exact science. Some brokers want to get it out to their own buyers for a week or two, and then they start advertising it. That's kind of the main. That's usually what people do. They don't have the same rules as MLS. So when you rent the house, you have to post it, I think, within 48 hours. I've never been a residential broker, so I don't know, but I think it's about 48 hours. With multifamily, it depends on whatever agreement you have with the seller, whatever's in your listing contract.
Okay. That's fantastic. When you mention Monopoly, is that basically, it just looked like the big players are in it, and that they didn't leave room for anything else, or what? If CoStar bought out LoopNet, who else is? Do you think that's? I mean, that you
I
really
mean,
think
besides,
that they've had
besides
a hold on
LoopNet,
it?
Besides LoopNet, I believe ApartmentBuildings.com has the most multifamily deals for sale.
Fantastic!
I've searched
I
other
love
websites,
it.
And I don't see any other sites that had the same inventory, and we have a lot of deals that are not even on any other site. But just let's say California, we have, I think, 515 properties for sale just in California. But we're now in, you know, there's other states that we mentioned as well, and there's a lot of deals out of there every day that are not on any other site. So it's, you know, it's growing every day organically and through our marketing. We have a database now of 600,000 that we're marketing to. It's about 70% investors. So it's kind of exciting. We hope to expand nationwide next year.
Wow.
And
this is fantastic.
Service the whole country.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I noticed also on your site you have where they can there's financing involved too. You actually connect people with lenders or commercial lenders, or how does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. They can request a loan quote, and we refer them out to lenders who we work with. And we're kind of changing our system around to so we can start monetizing the website. And before, we would just sell ad banners on the site, and whoever's buying the ad banner, we would give them the loan quote. But now we're going to do, starting pretty much this month, we're going to do lead generation. So we're going to try to really not only do marketing blasts to get lenders more deals, but we're going to, as we're calling brokers to tell them about our company, we can ask them if they want a loan quote for their new listing and get lenders business that way as well. So Walker Dunlop has advertised with us, as well as Hunt Mortgage, and we're speaking with a few other large lenders that do multifamily in the United States.
That's fantastic. So they can actually do put it in. I notice, and you've also got free valuation on here. So you're giving them pretty much letting people know what their properties are worth, right? For the
we
actual
don't do the valuations, but that's kind of an extra tool that we want to provide brokers that use our company business. So If an investor comes on here and they see a property and say, oh, maybe I should sell my property, and they fill out that form or just send us an email, we give those leads out to listing brokers who post on our site.
That's fantastic. So you're matching people with things that people that they're not going to find elsewhere, which is really – that's the name of the game, right, getting that deal before everyone else does too.
Absolutely. Our goal is to be the hub of the industry one day. The hub of the multifamily industry. So our, you know, lenders. We can get them business from brokers and from investors. We want investors to search on our site, which is completely free, and it takes 30 seconds to register. You can set up a safe search, and every time a new deal is added in that state, it can get emailed to you automatically. So you don't have to think about it anymore. Let's say you pick,
you want
the whole state of California or just maybe the county of Los Angeles. You can do a search and save it, and then every time a new deal is added, it can get emailed to you. The free valuation tab is to get, obviously, brokers
more
business from people that want to know what their properties are worth. And the management company tab, back to what you said, that's not open yet. We're
going
to open that next year.
Okay.
We just don't have the manpower now. That's where management companies
right.
can advertise their services.
So they can actually advertise this, and then they can and I see you do REITs too, right? I mean, they're dealing with REITs as well. How does that – well, that's more of a – with on the stock market.
Really, they can – REITs can sign up and get – and have a safe search too, and every time a new deal is added, they can get those new deals sent to them as well. But the management company tab is currently closed. So we'll be open for them to advertise in the future.
So this is if other brokers, brokers want to take on and to hook people up. So you're going to connect people with connect people. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, everybody wants referrals, right?
Everybody wants referrals, and the beautiful thing is lots of times
giving referrals out that I know of. So I don't think any of my competitors are taking the time to try to drum up business for the brokers that use their service.
So it lets you. That's really fantastic. So can you do an affiliate situation, I guess, with everybody too, and kind of tie it in. Now I notice it says you're servicing Arizona, California, Texas, Florida, New York, and you said you'd like to expand out. So say I have a property in Maryland, for example, or Hawaii, and I want to list it. Can we still list through you that way and you just add it, or is that not possible?
You can absolutely add properties in any state right now. We just don't have the manpower yet to reach out and keep growing those states at this time. We do plan on going nationwide soon. But you'll see if you check New Mexico, there's a few deals, a few large properties that were just posted recently in New Mexico. I notice other states sometimes, maybe Utah or Washington State, people add listings. I don't know how much traffic they're getting in those states yet, but hopefully, you know, we can do nationwide sooner than later. I don't want to give a date because I don't want to not follow through with it, but
absolutely. But I still think that because it sounds like in committing to the people, you're saying you're servicing these areas and you want the manpower so that you can make sure it's a win-win for everybody. That's what I'm hearing. But still, if somebody wants to put their properties up in other states, hey, if everybody's looking at this, it still may work. You know, it only takes one party.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it only takes one buyer to close the deal.
No. And we work with a lot of different networks for the real estate brokerage and then our Realty Universal membership network. And there's some network where they're sending emails of everything they can get commercial-wise, you know, through their lists, and they have pretty large lists. And this is really awesome. This is definitely worth it to get on there right away. What a great name, apartmentbuildings.com. I want to ask you, because of your experience, when you went through, your dad was in, you said your dad's been, he still is, very largely involved in land. That's really interesting. So he's taken it from raw land to record plat, done commercial, I mean, everything. It sounds like you said he's been in it for years, right? And so did you get your real estate license years ago as an agent, or did you go in strictly as commercial?
I actually got my real estate license when I was 18. I actually took the test, I think, when I was 17 and got it when I was 18. I just never did anything with my Maryland license. But I did get it. I did have it. And then I ended up moving to California when I was 24, and I never ended up using it. I was a mortgage banker.
How you got in. Okay, mortgage banker. Okay. And then, so how did you have the foresight to go straight into commercial and not start off on residential?
I wanted to follow my dad's footsteps, but there's not really a lot of land out here in L.A. It's all redevelopment. You know, people tear down old buildings.
It's very expensive.
To build new stuff. So
yeah.
Apartment buildings is the biggest thing here in Los Angeles, so that's what I chose to do.
I love it. So the on the apartment buildings, when what's really happening in the market, in the commercial market? Where's the sweet spot on apartment buildings, or does it just really matter, make a difference on what they can afford?
I think it depends on the investor. Some investors want cash flow. Some investors want to be able to fix up properties and put them back on the market. Some really pride of ownership buildings. So it depends on what you're looking for. Me personally, I want upside in cash flow. So I luckily bought a couple buildings in Highland Park in 2012. And if you look up Highland Park, California, it's the highest growth, I think, not just California, but the country for gentrification areas that are just growing, because the cities outside of that, called Los Feliz and Echo Park, they're already really expensive. So Highland Park is the next area near downtown LA. It's just really changing and getting, you know, cleaned up, and rents are stabilizing, and the buildings are all being fixed up in the retail as well. So my properties have all more than doubled or tripled in value in the last 5 years. So that's pretty exciting.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. So you got, let's see, 11 years. Did you say you've been in 11 years? So you got, it was around 2006. Is that when you got into really, really getting into California real estate?
No, I got into commercial real
before
estate.
I
started selling apartment buildings in 2001. And I stopped
in
2012.
Oh, gotcha. So that's where the 11 years is. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, my bad. I was looking and trying to figure out, because I think it's so interesting because we had such a, you know, between 2000 and 2006, I mean, the market was going crazy. It seemed like commercial, residential, everything. And then so much changed in 2007 and 2008. And from what I was hearing, a lot of commercial lenders weren't lending like they were before because you know, because of the economy, and it looks like there's plenty of money out there now. Is it? Am I right that it's a lot of people are expanding and growing?
There is in this town, at least.
Yeah.
The deals sell now that don't even make sense in Los Angeles. I don't even understand it, but I guess it's just so much money. People want a safe investment. Vacancies are low. You know.
So that's what it makes.
Down payment,
so low.
You're good. You're safe. And banks are safer this time around. You know, they're requiring more of a down payment. So. You know, they're not going to get killed. But back to what you said about 2006, the residential market took a hit kind of like about a year and a half before commercial real estate. I remember the market was still good for us till 2008.
Right. Well, it was
the
about, yeah, I think it was probably
for
around
multifamily.
Seven. Yeah, eight, yeah. Right. That makes sense because then everything was tanking. So on the apartment buildings, okay, when you were talking about gentrification and everything, Highland Park, for the people that aren't familiar with Highland Park, you're saying it's really, it's doubled in the last 5-6 years. So when you, as an investor, depending on how much you want to spend, what you're doing, what you're doing, do you think it makes sense to look for these areas that are just coming up?
I think so. I mean, I bought that property. I bought a couple properties around 7 times gross, the gross income per year, let's say.
Uh-huh.
Let's say it's 100,000. My properties were not 100,000, but just for numbers' sake, let's say a 7 times gross means the gross annual income. You multiply that by 7. That was the typical standard back then in 2012. But the market, you know, the world was coming to an end in 2012, right? So I think
well,
I got
grand annual income. Okay, so we say 7 times gross, but then when you do your cap rate. You want to have what's your minimum cap rate that you want to have?
It depends how much upside there is. I mean, right now,
okay.
The properties in Highland Park are probably in the mid fours. I'm guessing right now in Highland Park, but I don't remember the cap rate exactly when I bought my property.
Oh no, I'm just asking.
I don't want to spit out the number because it was so long ago, but it was really good. you know.
Huh.
I don't know exactly, but I'm
so
sure.
So it's really the upside.
A seven
so what,
cap.
What kind of formula do you, I mean, for you, going through when you're saying, okay, I'm an investor, I want to go out there and look, what kind of formula? I mean, I know it makes a huge difference what they're doing or, you know, who how much money's involved, et cetera. But if you're going in and you're a regular, like a typical, like an investor that's just coming in on the smaller side, say to speak, would you look at the whole picture and the upside, but and then, of course, figure out the cap rate or whatever on what you're buying. But is there kind of a formula you live by? Like you go, hey, I'm not touching that. Somebody might call you up and say, hey, you know, Scott, this deal is like out of sight. This deal is so out of sight. And you go through the number and go, this is not out of sight, right? Is there like a formula that you stick by? I won't touch this if I can't make at least this. Or is it just totally the whole picture?
Some people have their little formulas. You know, some people are cost per foot buyers. Some people are definitely cap rate buyers. I want to see what cash flow I'm going to get from day one. How much cash flow am I going to have 3 years down the road? Because here in Los Angeles County, if a property is older than, I think, October 1978, I believe, then it's rent control. If the property was built before October 1978, it's rent control. So you can only raise those tenants 3% a year for multifamily in most of Los Angeles County.
That makes sense.
Now, if they move out, then that's a different story. But if they stay, you can only raise them 3% a year. So
3% a year?
That's it. That's not for every city in LA County, but that's a lot of cities.
Exactly.
There's some
exceptions. Well, no, exactly. There's like New York has a certain percentage So, for example, with your rent, when you've got 3% of real rent control, well, you mentioned 1978. I had an apartment building years ago that I sold when I was moving to Hawaii, but it was only four units. It could have been six if it wanted to split it up another way, but it didn't. But one of the reasons I didn't keep it is, one, I didn't know that I was going to go back and forth, but one of the main reasons I didn't keep it was because of the lead paint issues, okay, on a, you know, that's a smaller project. Anything before 1978 basically has lead paint. What do you think about that? Does that lead paint issues in the commercial multifamily affect your decision?
No. It's too easily fixed. It wouldn't affect my decision at all.
If you're going to rent to family, rent to people, not commercial, though,
nope.
But just for the lead paint. Okay. Not at all. Okay.
No. That's what disclosures are for.
Yeah, it's a good. No, I'm just curious. Just curious as to what you think about it, because I was kind of like, I know in Baltimore, believe it or not, years back, I mean, there were literally people feeding their kids lead paint so they could file lawsuits, and that's a fact. It's not like pie in the sky or something. And it was like, oh my gosh. No, I mean, it's so sad. I mean, that's crazy, but it's a fact, and it's kind of like, well, so for me, if I was looking at something, I'd really want to lean towards something new if it's going to be used as a rental, not a commercial rental. So that's why I wanted to get your take on that, just what you think. So you would just fix it, because there used to be, I don't know if it still exists anymore, a lead paint program. On the multifamily, do you think if somebody's going out there, what about like apartment, 200 plus apartments, if there's apartment projects? I mean, are you seeing that move pretty well too, or just any kind of apartment situation?
There's a lot of deals that are really large on my website, actually. There's properties that are 100, 200, 500, 1,500 unit buildings for sale on the site. And the larger you go, usually that's more cap rate driven. And investors, when they're buying, they're more looking at the cap rate. And, you know, again, I'm not a broker anymore, so I don't know the individual markets as well as these brokers that are using my site. The REITs that are buying these large properties are definitely have their own formulas. And you probably have to talk to the individual brokers that work those markets to see what, you know, exactly their trigger point is. But some of them want to buy properties that they can raise the value for. And some of them are 3 to 5 year holders. So they buy a property, they fix it up, they fix up the units, raise the rents, and put it back on the market. And some REITs don't sell. So it just depends.
They just want to keep it in their portfolio?
Their plan. Yeah, some just
right.
add value, refinance, and buy more.
That makes sense. That
mm-hmm.
makes a lot of sense. Wow. This is we have Scott Furman on with us. It's Realty Universal. This is Natalie Mullinex, and Scott Furman is the founder of apartmentbuildings.com. You can go up there, post to properties, find properties. It's just a full database of current properties on the market. And it doesn't look like anyone else is doing this. And you said when we talk about LoopNet and CoStar, that's not everybody can even get in, you know, to those sites. It's a different situation now altogether. It's just where do you think this is headed?
I think obviously everything is more headed online. Think about how different it was even 15 years ago with the fax machine and people people sending out packages on properties. Now everything's through email. Everything's on the computer, websites. I mean, that's why I created it. I just, you know, I was aiming for the big hit. So technology was new to me. And
I love it.
And, you know, I wanted to create this company that brokers could use and investors could go to do more deals and meet each other. And, you know, it's been an exciting road, and I'm excited about our future growth for next year and going nationwide. And
I love it.
And we're going to be redoing the website probably this winter sometime, and we hope to add a lot of new features as well.
That's it. Now, can you it's fantastic. It really is. Premier resource for apartment buildings for sale. apartmentbuildings.com. I'm looking at this. And so the multifamily, would that be at least just four or more is what people are pretty much going after? I'm just getting a feel for what the markets are, like if you're seeing a lot of small investors still out there, or if or every kind of investor, you know, and I know when you said REITs, that's typically going to be, you know, groups and groups of people, right, doing the REITs. So my question is, do you see a lot of small investors still out there?
Yeah, there's always more smaller investors. So we used to just be for properties that were $3 million and up, but now our
uh-huh.
database has grown so much, it doesn't really matter. If you have a 2 to 5 unit building on there, you can post it, and there's a lot of properties being added on the site. So if you're an investor just looking for something small, go sign up. It takes 30 seconds to do it. It's free. And you can set up a safe search and have the deals emailed to you when they're added. And there's a lot of small properties in the site. So it doesn't matter if you're looking for a $500,000 deal or, you know, a $5 million deal. We're here to help you do more business and find more properties and promote the listings that are on here. And we expect a lot more growth in the coming months.
Fantastic. Yeah, you're going to definitely be competition, but this is just it's great. So I'm just going to look here.
Do you own any buildings right now?
No, I personally
don't. Do you have any
apartment
buildings?
No, I've sold.
No.
I did before, and then when I went to Hawaii, I kind of just – I've been putting a lot of my monies into the technology and the businesses and the networks, you know, because
right. –
but it does make sense. No, I just have some other properties, not the apartment buildings, which – is would be good to sometimes let me see something here. Yeah, I had a few acres that I should have kept probably because I could have commercialized it out even larger, you know, and put like a strip center in. Oh, that's a quick question. Do you find that strip centers are and are not doing as well because so many people are going virtual? A lot of stores are moving out of the malls. Do you find that?
I think it depends on all what kind of stores are in there. It's a great question to ask.
Okay.
If you're going to buy retail, make sure you own a good location. That's what I would say. I don't think you just got to be careful. No matter what you're buying, you got to be careful. It's all about the buy. If you buy right, you're going to do well. It doesn't matter even if the market's down. If you buy right, you're going to be fine. Because
right,
you can always overpay
sense.
For property. You can always overpay in a low market or a high market. You can always get good deals. And bad deals. I mean, you just got to be careful and get a good real estate agent that has your back and is knowledgeable of that of that
right,
location.
Know what to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to definitely know what to do and what's happening. And then
yeah,
if you're going to
go retail,
that's
out. What you really want. Sorry, go ahead.
Right.
Anyways, if you're going to go retail and that's what you want, make sure that you're getting a good location, or make sure the tenant is very strong, because if you're not in a good location and the tenant leaves, it's going to be hard to fill it up again. So I think it's
right. That makes total sense. You know, because things are changing so fast, it just looks like we're going more and more and more virtual. You know,
even
the shopping centers aren't doing as well as they used to do, right, at all. And that makes sense because
buying
online.
Because of
Amazon. Yeah.
And all kinds of a lot of stores are doing, you know, that have their online marketplace. You know, those sales are going up. So
because they've worked it in that way.
Higher and higher. Yeah. They don't have to pay to store the retail prices. It's a lot cheaper to store clothes in an industrial building than it is in a retail mall.
That makes sense. Yeah. So then they can drop ship and everything, and or maybe even have people come in that location rather than they, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, we're seeing it's just changing. Just think what it's going to be in 5 years. But this connecting people and connecting the networks and the people, and that's never going to change because, you know, somebody has a deal, they connect, you call, and it's that's never going to go away. I can't see it going away because we still have to. And then people still and in commercial, I mean, most people, I guess, are going to get funding. Now, is it typically 25%, 30%, 40% down in commercial or just as an average?
I think it probably depends on the county and the cap rate. But, yeah, definitely here in L.A., you'll see a lot of deals go down, mostly 40% down because the cap rates are so low that, you know, the bank's got to play it safe. I mean, in other area, other states and counties where the cap rate's, you know, more like 7, then you'll find – you can get in with that 25% down for properties that are 5 units.
You know, I found that funny. Like in Hawaii, the cap rate in Honolulu, they'll think it's 5% is fine. And to me, when you look at the mainland, a lot of areas and different areas want 10%. So when you're saying 4% and 7%, that does sound low to me, you know, on the mainland. But I guess things have changed drastically, huh? Because I remember a day when I was looking at stuff, I wouldn't look at anything lower than 10.
I wish I could find some 10 caps.
It's changed
my house
that
right
much,
now.
Huh? Is it just, wow.
It really has.
That's changed that much,
it
huh?
It really has.
Yeah. Gosh, the place I had mm-hmm. years ago had more than, it was like 12%, but I just didn't. I didn't want to deal with, but it was over, they were 100-year-old buildings, and I didn't want to deal with the lead paint issues when I wasn't going to be around. And they also weren't in an area like, you know, the prime. I knew that areas were going to change as far as looking at the future. So, interesting.
Right.
This is right. So what do you, if
you
somebody comes
in
and they want to
buy. We have like 265 buildings for sale in New York, I think. So there's a lot of the biggest brokerage companies right now in New York started to add their listings. Marcus & Millichap, Cushman & Wakefield,
wow.
REL Property Advisors, Best & Associates.
Fantastic.
Yeah, there's buildings on there that are 3 units, and there's buildings on there that are 100 units for sale. So
wow.
No matter what type of investor, we've got deals for you.
Gosh, and we do – That's fantastic. I have to put you in touch. Well, there's somebody else that I put you in touch with too, and put them in touch with you guys. It would be, it sounds fantastic. I guess you're just going to grow by leaps and bounds. So now you've got, New York. Let me see, and then then the financing pretty much is just depends on with commercial versus residential. You know, I've seen a lot more, and we get emails and then networks and people send us stuff that we've known. We're on a lot of the funding with so much down, they're going to go in without even tax returns and do no-doc loans. Are you seeing that come back a little bit?
I refinanced my properties that I own a couple years ago. I don't really see any any no-doc loans for commercial real estate. But once again, I'm not getting the details of each property being financed because I'm not the one brokering them. So
of course.
I wish I could. I should answer that question, but I just –
I'm getting the emails and people are sending things out. I totally get it. Well, people are sending things out and you just wonder if it's really happening or not happening, you know. So, and it's of course depends on what state they're in. I know Maryland's very strict about, but residential commercial is so different, you know, with the no prepayment penalties and prepayment penalties depending on what you're doing, right? There's just a whole nother
I think in commercial
gamut of information
going. It depends more about the property too and how the property is performing and cash flowing, but definitely people, it's still a relationship oriented business. So you know, investors that have a lot of loans with one particular bank, they tend to sometimes keep going back because they already have their paperwork and they have the relationship and you know, they can get good rates.
Fantastic.
But I have to get off to go to another call right now. I really appreciate
Gosh, I'm so glad you came on because I'm going to go through. It's been wonderful. Thank you. And I want to talk to you another time too because this is just fantastic. And we will, looking at different properties here and different, you've got, oh, so district, okay. I'm just looking this up. Hey, thank you so much, Scott, for coming on. And
thank you for having
me. We will talk soon.
Okay, I appreciate it. Have a good afternoon.
You too. Talk to you later.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Okay, bye-bye. So that was Scott Furman, and he has apartmentbuildings.com. As he says, apartment buildings are one of the fastest-growing segments for commercial real estate, and definitely look that up, apartmentbuildings.com. You can post your property anywhere in the country. They're handling certain states right now, but you can actually post anywhere. They're handling Arizona, California, Texas, Florida, and New York. It just looks like it's and lots of information, lots to learn. Small investors, large investors, doesn't matter. It's fantastic. These are properties that you're not going to find locally on the MLS, which most of them you may find some. So it's definitely worth it for you to get in here and look at apartmentbuildings.com. And we're going to take a quick break and come back and just wrap everything up.
Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like. It's your Minute with Maxwell. Here's author, speaker, and mentor to millions, your friend, John Maxwell.
How do I get off of the I think I'll do it to the do it stage? You see, many people, their life is something like this. Ready, aim, 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 aim. They never fire. They never shoot. They never execute. Now, let me just also say there are some people that's like, ready, fire, aim. And, you know, they don't execute either. They just shoot somebody accidentally. Execute means that there's a ready, preparation, aim, get your target, but then you shoot. The greatest gap in the world is the gap between knowing and doing.
Thanks, John. We trust we added value today. For the video version of The Minute with Maxwell, go to johnmaxwellteam.com.
This is Natalie Mullenix, and you're listening to Realty Universal Radio. We're getting ready to wrap up. We just had Scott Furman with apartmentbuildings.com talking to us about his fantastic site that he started so many years back. Started it when wanted to start it after LoopNet got purchased by CoStar, and those of you in the commercial real estate will be used to that. But this is fantastic site. Properties are growing and growing and growing on here. You can actually post your own property, get connected, and small deals, big deals, all over. And just it's a wealth of knowledge. It's always good, like we just heard John Maxwell saying, some people get ready, aim, fire, and some people just fire. And it's always good. The more we learn, the better we are. And with that said, to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter @RealtyUniversal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com.